Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott dive into the 2011 Francis Ford Coppola Director's Cut Cinema. Will this wine live up to the reputation of the line? Or, well, find out here on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. Tonight, we have a very special episode. I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here, folks. Good to be here, wine guy.
And she's in the room, but she doesn't want to be acknowledged. The Triple B is here just in a supervisory role. She is in a non-air role tonight. Charlie's off.
Charlie's off.
Yeah, he has to, you know, he's serving a 14-day stint for lewd and lascivious conduct. Son of a bitch. Anyway, and obviously the superstar's not here for the same exact reason, because he was with Charlie when they were doing that kind of stuff. Sick bastards. Anyway.
You exposed Charlie to the superstar.
Charlie exposed himself to the superstar, and that's how it all started. So that's what I'm
saying. It started with the superstar ripping his clothes, like he always does.
I know, and Charlie got the wrong idea, or the right idea. I don't know what they did.
I don't know. Were they making Mystery Eyes?
History Eyes, what you called it. Yeah, they were singing Strawberry Wine. I don't know.
Oh, no.
It's just wrong.
Down by the river. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry.
So.
I digress.
Tonight's wine, folks, right now is a mystery to the unlicensed taxi driver. What we're going to do first is have some fun with him in this first segment, really quick, to see if he can guess the makeup of the wine, where it's from, and everything about it. So we're going to start off.
Superstar.
Yeah.
It's going to poke fun. At the expense of unlicensed.
Now, Triple B is quite good at this. Let's see if the unlicensed is good at this.
So
this one is very difficult, mind you.
Gee, well, that wouldn't be in line with any of the other games we play here.
If you get within a country mile of this one, bravo.
I don't know. I can't remember what kind of wine it is, but that makes me feel like it's a blend.
Don't help him.
As soon as he says difficult, that's the first thing I think, that it's some type of blend.
Other than him naming it's a red wine, I'm not quite sure what he's capable of doing.
Steve, for 200, what color is red wine?
I know this.
Red? Good question, Mr. Wine Guy.
You might have thought it was a trick question. Purple?
This is a pretty dark wine.
Well, sure.
There's a little hint of, it's not quite anise, it's not quite licorice.
I'm not asking what it smells like, I'm asking what it's made of.
I'm working through this.
Oh, are you?
I'm working through this, you're going to give me time. I'm going to have proper time.
What are you doing? Oh, you're seeing if he's right? Okay. I'm going to look at Triple B and she'll nod if you're correct.
I'm not getting a bunch of fruit.
Let me see this. I didn't even smell it, I just took a quick swig.
It's really dark.
It is. It's a nice, nice clarity to it, mm-hmm. which is unusual.
It's a beauty. Mm-hmm. Whatever the hell it is.
It has a leaner look in the glass, but...
For sure.
Yeah. I mean...
It has a touch of rockiness in it.
Rockiness?
Yeah.
Minerally.
Yeah, it does. It would have that. That is correct. And I know why.
Wow. Whatever it is wonderful. I'm going to go, it's earthy. I'm going to go old world. I'm going to go some type of French blend.
God, you suck at this. No.
Can I guess?
Yes.
I want to take a drink really quick and guess. Is it a blend?
I will say, yes, it is a blend.
Yay. This is the first time I've ever blind tasted. Truth.
Well, you can see it. It's not really blind.
I think it's a Cab Sauv blend.
That's actually very close.
Is it right?
It's not right, but it's close.
Okay.
It's predominantly Cab. It's about 55% Cab, and the rest of it is 42% Zinfandel with
very
a splash
nice.
Of Petite Sirah.
I knew it had Sirah because it's so dark.
Well, Petite
Sirah. I knew that. It's almost half Zin.
It is.
Oh, Jesus.
The wine I said you were going to drink tonight, Folks, see, I told Scott what we were drinking tonight.
Wow.
And he still couldn't guess.
Wait, you didn't tell me what you were drinking. You were tempting me.
I know.
I assumed you would have sucked that thing down beforehand.
Tonight's wine is Francis Ford Coppola's director's cut, their cinema.
And it has two dogs on it. Multiple times, two dogs on it.
It does, and it has a man with a hula hoop. Nevertheless, that's stupid.
It's not a man, it's a young boy.
A young boy. An elfish kind of young boy. He's dressed up like Peter Pan. Kind of.
Or maybe like a little Dutch boy wearing wooden shoes.
Yes, but he has like a Robin Hood hat on. That's a stupid thing. Anyway, he's having the dogs do tricks, which is extremely interesting, disturbing, and...
So 50-something percent cab, 44% Zin.
55 cab, 42 Zin, 3%
Splash
Petite Syrah.
You know, Zin is shocking.
Mm-hmm. And when we come back, folks, I'm going to talk a little bit about more of this, and we're going to get into it on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. So, the Francis Ford Coppola's director's cut cinema. Cinema is their top-of-line red blend until you get into their high-end stuff. It goes for about $40 a bottle. I didn't pay $40 a bottle for
no,
this.
No, no, no.
Because I wouldn't buy it for $40.
Texted me, called me gushingly, saying, look at what I did.
Got it for $25. The interesting thing about cinema is each year the blend is different. So for 13, I believe it's mostly Zins, over 50% Zin, then Cab. It also has Merlot, Petit Verdot, and Petit Syrah in it. So they mix it up a little bit, and I think it just depends on what they're going for each year. Just a little
or maybe food, what they've got.
Yeah, food for thought. The Cabernet is Alexander Valley Cabernet. So
nice.
It's the director's cut Cabernet, and I guess you can guess where the Zin comes from. Dry Creek. That's correct.
We love Dry Creek.
And I don't know. It doesn't really denote where the Petit Syrah comes from, but it's somewhere in Sonoma County, and that can mean a lot of things. So, it's an interesting wine. It's not one, though, that I don't think it's a big seller. It's a small production, but it's not a big seller, simply because it's expensive, and it's not Napa. And
well, here we certainly don't see it. I've never seen this before.
The only place I really see it is at a random... shitty Kroger's in Lancaster, which is a small, well, city-ish kind of thing.
It's bizarre.
Yeah,
it's
right like on the border of Appalachia.
And you picked up, and I think we talked about this on another podcast of, you know, look through the clearance wines,
yes.
And that's a good opportunity to buy stuff that you wouldn't normally buy just because of the price point.
I bought Robert Mondavi's Oakville Cabernets down there.
And that's just so bizarre to even see it there.
This, they had a bunch of this. They have Sonoma Couture, both their Pinot and their Chard. They have Farniente Chardonnay marked down $20. It's normally $70, and I think it's for $47. Why do they have that on the shelves to begin with? I don't know. Because there's no way you're going to move it. But... you know, like I said, even when I'm looking through these closeouts, they already are putting random new stuff on there that no one's going to buy.
Really?
By the way, remember that Quilt Cabernet I mentioned?
Yes, yes.
I saw it at Giant Eagle now, marked down to $39.99 from $59.99. It's like, why are you guys stocking this shit?
It's crazy.
People don't buy that, and it's really limited. The thing is, I understand why they want to have some of these wines on the shelves, but nobody's going to buy it. Nobody's going to buy this. Well, it doesn't mean it's a bad wine. It's probably a very good wine, but it's not something that you're going to buy. You're just not. You might buy it if you're out there.
But here's now.
Yeah.
And remember it later.
Yeah.
Look through the clearance stuff.
Absolutely. Sometimes. Closeout stuff. When you're in bigger, nicer stores, look through the closeout if they have that. So, we're going to go through this wine, though, because it's in front of us. So, the 11.
So, what did you think of the nose? So, it's a 2011?
I hadn't really gotten into the nose yet, so I'm going to... I feel it's a little closed.
Okay.
But you smell the ants like you're talking about.
This has been decanting for more than an hour?
It's been decanting for... what time is it? About 2 hours, folks.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're still thinking close.
A little bit. Dark chocolate, ants, It's a just a whiff of black olive.
Yeah, that are, then there's mm-hmm. some, there is something mm-hmm. earthy in there with the black olive.
Yeah, well, like Becky said, the mineral quality from the Dry Creek.
Yeah.
And you've got Alexander Valley. It's kind of cool. The Petit Verdot, then, when it's added, it comes from Knights Valley.
I don't know where that's at.
Well, we have a Rodney Strong that's 100% Knights Valley that we'll have in the future. Knights Valley is a small little AVA between Napa and Sonoma. It's like a little right there.
Huh.
Pretty cool.
What's their chops? They
Bordeaux style reds.
Okay.
Yeah. Normally cab.
I tell you, I still stick by this has some old worldish properties in the nose. Because of the
unusual blend.
In the nose. Mm-hmm. The palate, not so much.
You're also mixing Alexander Valley with Dry Creek, which seems like an unusual pairing, you know?
I'll tell you what, we haven't broke this down all the way, but this works.
It's a very nice nose, though. I said it's closed, but whatever I'm smelling, I like.
This is one of the better non-fruit, non-berry noses done here.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's one of the other things that's subtly nice about this. There's you do get alcohol mm-hmm. on the first part of your nose, but it's not this big overburdened alcohol.
But it's part of a greater thing.
Yeah, everything comes right up with that alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's like I gotta go.
This is well done. This is a well done wine.
It's an elegant smelling nose, and this was not exactly treated well. I mean, it sat on a shelf for a long time too, so.
Really, there's a fruit that is almost round in that it envelops the end of the front into the middle, and then it just...
It's missing a little bit of a front palate.
Yeah.
Though.
That fruit comes on strong. But yeah. It's not fruit forward.
No, it's on mid-palate.
It's almost awkward mid-palate.
Yeah.
But it's really a round fruit.
Mm-hmm.
There's some different berry things going on.
It's like the cab is fighting the Zen to who's going to be center stage. And 11, even for a Dry Creek, is a little bit long for the Zen. So the fruitiness of the Zen is starting to fade a little bit, perhaps. And what you've got is that cab there, but that wasn't, I think, included to be... The front quote. I mean, like I'm saying, what I'm saying is, the current vintage of this is 13.
Okay.
So it's not like this is not.
It's not gone flabby past its point.
No, shouldn't.
But it.
It's very restrained. A little bit lean.
Yeah, it's definitely lean. It's not a. It's medium-bodied, but
medium-bodied
just hitting it.
Yeah, it's not lush. It doesn't have that mouthfeel that we like. It doesn't have that weighty mouthfeel at all.
No, but it's mm-hmm. but it's not a bad mouthfeel. It's just a lighter, leaner wine.
Mm-hmm.
Back to that fruit. What's interesting about it for me is that just when you start to get chocolate. That fruit comes in and it comes around and kind of wraps around that chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
It is really reminiscent of a chocolate dipped fruit. But the fruit that's going on there, I've got berry, you know, mm-hmm. it's a touch of grapey jamminess.
Mm-hmm.
And then
there's
a distinctly strawberry note that just pops up in there.
Yeah. And like I said, the Zin won't sing because of the Cabernet there, but doesn't have that, quite frankly, doesn't have that robustness normally that I associate with an Alexander Valley cab.
No.
Either. I mean,
no.
You expect an Alexander Valley cab to have a beautiful, deep richness to it. Not necessarily a chunky richness. I mean, a very pure richness.
This isn't that.
It didn't have that. No. Which is a little different. I don't know.
certainly a pleasant wine to drink and have in the mouth and sip.
Let's talk about the finish.
Yeah. We just did. No.
He kids, but he's...
There's no finish, really. There isn't.
There's a lingering touch of... It's kind of... It's in no way a tannic wine, but the only thing that's there in the finish is a little bit of tannins.
A wisp. A wisp of tannin. A bit it's of oak.
Yes. But it's in a way, it's a nice finish in that the little things that are there are present, and you can taste them.
Well, everything is little. Everything is there. It's like a miniaturized version of everything. Yeah. So it's like a miniaturized version of a wine.
Well, let's not be cruel.
No, I'm not.
Kind to be cruel in the right measure.
It's like little dog tricks, you know.
Rob can be cruel to the cinema.
There's no residual sugar, so that's good.
I think
the people are noticing that I'm not particularly impressed.
Yeah, you're not growing.
No.
They're not growing.
This does not impress me. It is not a unpleasant wine by any stretch of the imagination. But for its price and for what the alleged grape stock it has, it doesn't really mesh. And what's there doesn't make me run around and buy the director's cut of the cab with a Zin, does it, you? I mean, we love the directors, love it. But if this is what the cab and the Zin, at least for 2011, was...
Well, it doesn't make me... I think I'll play off what you said and say, it definitely doesn't make me want to go out and get the cab. I think there's a nice Zin in there.
Oh, possibly. About... Is it a $26, $27 Zin? That's what it'll cost.
All right.
I mean, and so is the cab.
And whether it's cab or Zin or whatever, it's not going to be this miraculous finish to the Zin just because it's no longer accompanied by the cab.
Now, Cellar Tracker gave this an 89.7. So a lot of people out there like it.
But I can see that.
Well, it has a restrained, lean style. And if you like that, it's okay.
Well, something I think the listeners...
Vanilla is also on the nose.
Might really enjoy about this. The flavors we've discussed, other than my rambling talk about round fruit and all that bullshit. This is easy. The flavors are, none of them overpowering. They're easy to recognize. And for learning your palate and understanding the different things you will taste in a wine, this is easy. Well, this is an easy one to drink, an easy one to appreciate what's going on with it. Look, again, as Rob said and as we said, there's not a lot going on here. And what is going on isn't complex. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing difficult about this red wine.
I would say that it has complexity. What it doesn't have is weight. The mouthfeel is quite poor. You know what it has? It has almost a lighter Pinot mouthfeel. It has the mouthfeel of a lighter Pinot Noir. A medium body but light Pinot Noir. You know what I'm saying? Well, almost a flavor profile of a nondescript Pinot.
Huh. It's a very Pinot mouthfeel.
I draw it in and I get little hints that the Cabernet wants to come out, and then it doesn't.
It just shuts down.
By mid-palate, it's all there, and that's it. And then it just kind of washes away. So a little bit of tart acidity, tannin, hint of cranberry, perhaps.
Ooh.
Well, that's what it is.
On the backside.
Yeah, on the finish.
A little tarty...
Cranberry finish, and nothing much.
What would that be? Is that a flaw?
Well, I think it might be something that's faded. And I think there is a little bit of fading going on here in the wine.
I think there might be.
That's an absolute joke, considering it's not that old.
But how many times have we had a nice, nice wine that you said, oh, no, you wouldn't want to age this?
Well, sure. But I wouldn't pay... At $40, you expect to be able to do something. I mean, Jesus.
I don't know.
Well, $40 Chardonnay, I would expect to be able to hold 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, right.
I should be able to expect that with a red blend, for Christ's sake. With a stupid guy with a leprechaun hat on the label. The nose, what pisses me off, though, is the nose is good. And the nose suggests something else than what the wine is.
It really does.
It does.
It's,
yeah.
Would we be more appreciative of this wine if it didn't have that wonderful nose?
No, but we wouldn't be as cruel to the rest of it. I wouldn't be as hateful of it if, A, it didn't cost $40.
There is some hatred.
Well, it costs $40 fucking dollars.
It didn't cost you $40.
But in theory, it does. Now I see why nobody bought it. People down in Appalachia, the Hill Jacks know what they're doing. They're discerning. They're buying the Louis Martini Cabernet as opposed to this. They're like, fuck that shit.
man, those Hill Jacks.
Yeah. This is the top of the line for the director's cut. This is their creme de la creme. So. Good thing you bought the directors.
I think the vanilla's coming out a little more on the mouth. But it's still, if anything, it's further softening the fruit, and the fruit's becoming less prominent.
And the fruit never goes to any kind of sweet mouthfeel. It always is. It's either tinged with a little bit of sour oak that just brings it down, or itself is just tastes unripe. 89. I mean, I'm not sure. Maybe this is not corked.
No,
this isn't a corked bottle. And yes, it sat on the shelf and all that other stuff, but the cork was not in bad shape. It was stained. It was actually in reasonably good shape, so I have no reason to believe that this bottle had been mistreated in any stretch of the imagination, so no more so than anything else has on a grocery store shelf. I just don't think that this is a very impressive wine. But we are going to come back, and we are going to get into an interesting potpourri segment tonight, so be right back on the Wine Vault. Potpourri. This is an interesting thing. It's just a thought I had the other day. It deals with wine collecting, and this more applies to where we live, because I know in some of the more built-up areas, or more what would be the term, civilized areas,
civilized society,
civilized society, not in the Midwest. There still are wine shops. There still are, you know, whatever. Places that you can go find bottles of wine that are interesting that you like. However, out in here, a lot of those places are kind of closing up shop. And the main means by which that you can buy, and I think something that most of the country's turning to is online sales. And it got me thinking about kind of how that affects, you know, collecting. Part of, and you have to think from a mind, why do you collect? You collect to find something that's special, that you have interest in. But you have to find it. You're at a shop, and you stumble across something that you've been looking for. And that's exciting. And then you buy it. Other than typing it into Google, and it pops up, and you buy it off fucking Google. It's not really finding anything. There's an inherent difference, I think, there. Also, you don't get exposed to a lot of the international flair online unless you search it out. You don't have that wine steward or whatever you want to call them saying, hey, you know, Chateauneufs are fantastic. You should try them. Here's a couple that are great. You don't do that. Like I'm thinking Côte de Rhône. Well, anything that was Southern Rhône. Côte d'Aronne, all that, Châteauneuf, DePaul. Those things are huge. Well, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 13 years ago. You don't even hear anybody talk about Côte d'Aronne anymore, really, at all, do you?
Well,
that was like the rage in like the early 2000s.
I think the New World marketing has, by volume alone, overtaken those. And I think there is a certain respect now for California that more and more and more people in America that they're turning to wine, they don't have that knowledge that of French wine at all.
Yet, that's a shame.
And you see California wines.
You go into your grocery store.
It's more available.
You don't see those things. I mean, I remember there used to be...
And they're for, and not to be stupid, but they're foreign to people.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I used to sell, you'd have people come in, they're in there to buy Côte d'Aronne. I mean, so many people bought Côte d'Aronne, you would be shocked. And Côte d'Aronne, folks, is Grenache and Syrah. A mixture of that. And a few other local grapes. Interesting wines, to say the least. As a matter of fact, some of them borderline on excellent wines. We will have one in the future here. We actually placed an order online, thewine.com. And we are going to, I ordered a Côte d'Aronne Village for us to test and talk about on the show. And I did that for one reason. I haven't had a Côte d'Aronne in years. And I think it's something that we need to talk about and bring it back.
Well,
they also need to not charge $17 a bottle for it, too. But
well, in previous podcasts, we've mentioned that you can find value there, though.
Oh, you can.
In the French wines.
Especially in the little Bordeaux, satellite Bordeaux stuff. I mean, under $10. You're talking Cabernet Merlot, and you're talking good, often. Or at least interesting and fun. Not fruity, but, you know, old world style.
And is it simply, I don't want to say marketing and lack of knowledge, or is it a palate thing? Are more people appreciative of the fruit-forward cab style of California?
I would say people are interested in the fruit-forward Pinot style. Well, that style. That seems to be what's in vogue now, and then whatever weirdo shit that comes out. Because for a while there were the Caletals, then the Rhone Rangers, and all that other shit, and those things have gone away. That they're not there, but they're not popular anymore. And Côte d'Aronne was one of those things that was out there. And I think, yes, the Côte d'Aronne does have a bit different flavor structure. You're not going to mistake it for anything that's American. But it's a very good representation of Syrah and Grenache in those blends. And Châteauneufs are magnificent. But one thing about Châteauneufs, why they're not as popular, the damn prices have gone through the fucking roof.
Right.
And you can't, I mean, what I used to buy at 45 now is 70 or 80. And it's just bizarre.
But some of that's gone on here, too.
Oh, sure.
You've talked ad nauseum about some of the different Calis that you could get in the 20s that are now 50, 60, 70.
But that's, and the thing that I don't get, that's not inflation.
No.
It's greed.
Whoa, let's be a little.
Well, people aren't buying it.
It's business.
Right here. People didn't buy this.
It's business. It's wine business.
I know. But for every wine that they make, like this the director's cut stuff, nobody bought it. They've sold it at wholesale. Wow. Now, the winery did make their money, but nobody else did. The store sure as hell didn't, because they sold it at what they paid for it. That's what that price is. $40, that's wholesale. $25.17. So they sold it at cost because they couldn't sell it and they had to get rid of it. And that's...
I'm guessing they paid a little less than that, but...
It'd be around there, $40. Yeah, close. There's no profit there.
Yeah.
So
they're not putting their kids through college at that profit margin.
No. And so that kind of brings to... It's just kind of weird where the wine industry is kind of going and what they're doing. And And if you want to be a collector, where are you going right now? What are you doing?
Well, I think it's easy to be sucked into these kitschy boutique wineries.
Yeah.
That you know, if you don't know what you're doing, and you can spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new Netflix series about fraud in the wine industry, and it comes from the news.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from a company that took millions of dollars of pre-orders. Had some kitschy name for it, and then they freaking totally defaulted. It was nothing more than a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
And so you have to be careful. Another thing that's out there marketing are all these wine clubs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
we
you
see
know,
it on
maybe,
Twitter. People follow us on Twitter, and they are at-home wine club people. And the stuff that they're peddling is just trash. It's not good wine.
Plainly, some of it's multi-level marketing.
Oh, absolutely. And it's all
it is. I think there's a...
And they're not selling the wine. Common, you know, fill out a form.
Yeah. You know,
and
come
throwing
in and do
wine parties and...
Home wine tastings.
Mm-hmm. Come in, I'll have 15 Napa wines for you for $20.
Yeah. But don't get me wrong. It seems that some of the wine clubs really are selling high-end wines that are good quality wines.
And we've talked about that previously on the show. We went actually through that, and there are a few that actually sell legit wines.
But, you have to be careful. You have to do some research.
Mm-hmm. It's called Bicycle White. Don't buy it.
But also, then you go online and you see this story about the top 100 wines, and it's some blogger's top 100 wines. Well, it turns out half of them are from their wine club.
Yeah. So what are we doing?
But back to building a collection.
Yeah.
So how do you do it? Well, I know how I've started mine. And maybe I should chime in on this.
Well, no.
Rob ruined my life.
I did.
And exposed me to Turley.
I'm proud of that. I would actually research, try to find an interest. Try to find something wine that you're interested in to begin with.
Definitely find someone who has a reputation. And that's...
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of opinion that goes into that.
And one thing we're going to do here in the future, folks, we're going to have a series on... What would we call it? Mid-level cabs? We've done budget cabs.
There
we're
going to
do it. We have a whole bevy of mid-level California Napa cabs to go through. They're in the wine cellar. They're prepping themselves right now.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know. And we're going to go through those. And that's not necessarily things you necessarily want to collect, but it kind of gives you an idea of the springboard from there. And in the future, I think we're going to go in a little more depth of some different regions and things to look for. But we also, part of our mantra is, you have to be able to buy it. You have to be able to afford it. So we're going to try to focus and help you down the road, as we go along, to try to put together a collection on a budget.
And there are things we've talked about.
Yeah.
This is one you can put a couple years on.
Intrinsic.
Now that's...
That's one.
That's not... Putting 20 years on a French Bordeaux, not a 10-year cab, but it's start.
Hey, question. This is completely off topic. That's fine. We're currently listening to Pandora and my Jimi Hendrix station. And it's not that I dislike the song. I like the song very much. But on Jimi Hendrix, Pandora, Billy Joel's Piano Man is now on. How is that in any way, shape, or form related to... It's a wonderful song. I love the song. But how is that related to Jimi Hendrix? Scott, explain.
When you continue to push like...
But I didn't like it when they...
When they play the ABBA songs, it's going to play things like this.
Dancing Queen? Yeah, okay. Good enough. We're not going to get into that anymore. So, folks, when we come back, we are going to... Take this wine out back and shoot it on the Wine Vault right back on. Folks, we here on the Wine Vault are an open opportunity podcast. We would love for you to be a guest in the Wine Vault. Scott, tell them how to do it.
Contact us at thewinevault@outlook.com. Send us a message on the Facebook at thewinevault.rs. Twitter, contact us at @winevaultpodcast. I'm at the O. We're on the Twitter, folks. We're on the Facebook. Contact us at our website.
Folks, you get a hold of us, we'll get a hold of you. We'll bring you on. Hey, who knows? You might even meet the superstar Steve Gibson. Who can say?
God, don't make promises you can't keep.
Well, give Steve a fiver, he'll show up. Anyway, folks, We would love to hear from you. We'd love to see you. We'd love to meet you on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. So we're back. We are, well, Scott is drinking the 2000. I'm not drinking.
Rob's loading the gun.
I hate this shit. The 2011 Francis Ford Coppola's Director's Cut Cinema.
We used a technique.
A technique?
That we've tried a couple different times with a couple different things.
We switched to Pinot glasses to see if it made it better. It made it worse.
I don't know about worse, but...
It didn't make it better. Try shot glasses next? I don't know.
We'll go to the plastic cups.
Well, sometimes, folks, we have a few theories. One, the first theory is this stuff is shit. Second theory is that it's past its prime and it's dying.
And that's my thought.
But it's 2011, for Christ's sake. And if it can't hold its oats from 2011 at $40, it's shit. So I think it all comes down to it's shit.
How many scores were on that seller tracker at 89?
I don't know.
Let's see.
I lost all respect for those
people. But, I mean...
They're dead to me.
Well, you see some stupid scores on there, but, talked about data that... I'd rather drink seller tracker scores in a positive way.
That snake vodka in the Vietnam where they put the blood and the bile in the vodka and then you drink it. I'd rather drink that. I mean, I dislike this every time.
You're just harsh, man. Once you turn, you turn. Good God.
That's shitty. I like their wines, too, and that pisses me off. I've never had a Coppola until now that I dislike. Never had one. Always liked them. Absolutely adore the director's Cabernet. I bought it since we had it on the air. I liked it so damn much. I like the Diamond Series. I like the Claret. I even like their Merlot. You like their Pinot from the director's Pinot. This stuff... No, thus far. So
I didn't get a hit on it.
Well, okay. Well, then maybe I clicked on something else.
Let's see.
I would pick up my phone right now, but it's playing Piano Man, and I can't be bothered to waste energy.
Some Coppola director's cut. I'm in lines.
Mm-hmm.
And cab.
Yes.
Director's Cut Cinema. Yeah, 89.2. Oh, here it comes.
What?
Now, it's just Cellar Tracker, but it does say drink 2015 to 2016.
That's a very small window. They always have their windows.
Well, but...
It's 2017, even if
it's... But if it's 2011 and it was on the market in 2014, that's basically a drink now. With a year or two. And it is 2017, I might point out.
Could be. Still don't like
it. So I think our instinct was right. It's past its prime. You assume that these drinking notes are right.
I've had shit that is 10 times older than this stuff. Lordy.
And I'm looking through here, and for shame. You know what? The most recent tasting was 2015.
That must have given up on it.
No, I think it's just past its point is the whole point of this
thing. Nobody drank it since then.
Nobody's rated it since then.
Oh, God.
Tell us.
Maybe the world ended. No one told us.
I think we're going to bring the score down a little.
The score is coming down a little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
89.2?
I don't think it's going to get an 89.2. But we're going to start off with the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's not going to be an 89.2.
I'm pretty sure not.
There's one thing that is really wonderful about this, and I'll be honest, I like the color, but there is a little translucence to it.
Yeah.
Just a little watery edge. We didn't get too deep into that. One of the things that's most disappointing about this, there's two things that are disappointing. My first mouth taste, I really like this wine, but then it's done nothing but get flattened out and flabby out, and it was never the biggest wine, and the flavors are now... less complex. The chocolate's gone. Now there's a little more vanilla there. But the nose was spectacular. In a different way, very, what'd you call it, subtle? Not, you know, subtle wasn't the word. Delicate?
I'm not sure what I said.
You never are.
No. I'll make it up.
But it's an easy drinker, I'll give it that. But it's kind of... I've had better $9 wines than this.
Me too.
And it's not even hard to say that.
I know.
There's nothing inherently wrong with this. I just think it's past its prime. Still got to call it like we see it.
Yes.
And I'm probably going to be pleasant in giving it an 86.
An 86? High bastard. An 86?
It's easy to drink.
Are you drinking something different?
It's easy to drink.
You want to switch glasses?
There's nothing unpleasant about this. But
I think it's unpleasant.
Unpleasant?
Yeah, but you didn't pay for it. It's kind of like when you that Gurgachev Merlot that you spent over $100 on, you were complaining about it. It didn't bother me any because you bought it.
Fucker. Yeah, that was... Okay, so maybe there's some truth to this.
It's an interesting phenomenon.
I don't fucking care. I didn't pay for it. Yeah,
so interesting phenomenon.
It's very... It's the exact same thing, because it was past its prime.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it really had a prime, but yeah.
No, it was flat. Yeah. It was flabby. Well, there was nothing there.
I don't think this wine ever had a prime. I don't think so.
If
I extrapolate out what these flavors are to anything else, it's like, and I don't really give a shit. If you charge $40 for your wine, it can't sit on it can't hold for, you know.
I'm in Seller Tracker.
Yeah.
I have to read
boobs. Him? Did he review it again?
CR King G5. I don't know what that means.
How sci-fi of him.
But he first enjoyed this wine at the Coppola Winery with a family-style dinner. It was an awesome experience. This wine has a lot of sentiment attached.
Oh, geez.
Purchased the wine as a memento from the evening and planned to recreate pasta bolognese, and they enjoyed that night. But we enjoyed it with steak, and it was delicious. A little sharp, like most Italian wine.
It's not Italian. It doesn't have any Italian varietals in it.
Who's the guy we made fun of from Vegas?
Oh, that dumbass that thought 19 Crimes was good?
And the poor Bodhi.
Oh, yeah.
I think... I look at it and I say, Craig Carnegie 5? Yeah, he's on the list.
Yeah, there's no Italian... It's not...
It's not Italian. Coppola's kind of an Italian name, maybe?
They occasionally... Look, yeah, well, because it's the Godfather?
Maybe?
That's racist, but... Or, you know, xenophobe.
Xenophobic.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Cabernet, that's sometimes Italian, but it's more French. Or California.
It's very French.
Well, they do have Cabernet in Italy. But I'm pretty sure they don't have Zin.
Northwest.
Or Petit
Sirah. Some of the regions.
Yes, they do, but it's not prominent. Well, Super Tuscan's there. Occasionally there's Cabernet thrown in there, but...
yeah, anyhow.
It's not a traditional.
I think I'm giving an 86... Without regard to price, I think it stands at that. Maybe some of that I'm giving to what it once was, but it's an easy drink. It's not offensive unless you paid for it. You know, but you should, Rob, always look on the bright side of life. At least you got it on clearance.
That's true.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Folks, we bought this so you don't have to.
That's a fact.
Yeah, that's true.
I have to say it. You want to say it? You want to jinx it?
What?
This is not recommended by
Actually, it's got a better distinction than that, is what it's getting.
Oh, my.
Folks, Scott says it's an easy drink. It's not an easy drink. It tastes like shit. That's not being very... No. It's insipid. It's lean. The mouthfeel is poor. The tart cranberry finish is off-putting. It doesn't really show any true varietal character. It's just a mismatch of junk. And when you know that they're saying that it has Alexander Valley Cabernet and Dry Creek Zin, those are two damn... Jordan and LeBron James.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
But we do have to say, when we first talked about it, it's changing and it's not
changing for the better. I mean, that's the thing. The pedigree it suggests should be excellent. And in reality, I don't really see much here that... I mean, yes, it could have been bigger, it could have been richer. But if that dude was mistaking it for an Italian wine, what the hell? You know, everything about it is off-putting to me. It's not I think a lot of it is because of the age it's faded, but I find that to be preposterous too. If you pay $40 for a wine, and it's 57% Alexander Valley Cabernet, an 11 from Alexander Valley should be okay by now. I mean, it really should. There's no excuse for that. Unless your Zin stock is junk. And it shouldn't be, because it's
Dry Creek.
So...
I think this is just me, and sorry to interrupt your review. I think the problem with this wine's a cab.
Oh, I think so too. There's nothing there. So it gets an 82. And given its price, folks, it gets an excellent designation of being on the Wine Vault's Wall of Shame. Yes.
Harsh.
No.
Harsh.
No. Price harsh. In consideration.
Harsh.
Of price, an 82 is an abomination.
I think it's your wall of shame.
It's
I think
my
it's
wall
your,
of shame.
Oh, just handle wall your disappointment better.
Of shame.
No, it was disappointing.
Disappointing?
You didn't pay $70 for this. If you paid $70 for this, yeah. You paid $25.
Wall of
Quit
shame.
Quit being a baby.
Wall of shame.
Baby.
Wall of shame. Anyway.
You need your diaper change?
Also, so, folks, it's Rob, not recommended by the wine.
I apologize for the wine guy. Apparently he's having some
Just because you like bad
diaper
wine.
Diaper rash.
When we get to that Let's box wine?
Get some coconut
You want the
Boda oil.
Box again? Is that what you want? You must like it. I mean, this wine tastes like it should be in a fucking box.
I mean,
it is very reminiscent of the Boda box.
This would be a really good Boda box wine.
Well, we did give those lower scores. So maybe I should lower this.
No.
No. Don't. I'll
You're
do
being
it.
Harsh.
I'll do it. Harsh. I don't think an 82 is harsh.
It's harsh.
It's not.
It's harsh.
What there is an 86? You're saying this is as good as Josh?
It's not. It's.
It's not.
I would.
It's not.
Pick Josh over this. For
yes,
sure.
you would.
For sure.
This isn't as good as Hess. This isn't as good as anything.
Mm-hmm.
You gave Hess an 87, so you're admitted now.
Okay.
You're done. You're cooked. Your lack of, you know, consistency is there.
No, so. I'd stand by this 86.
And by the way, folks, this is the one true mark of a bad wine. We are not drinking it. I stopped. I'm not going to drink any more of this.
He doth not profess
what
anything less than the truth.
We're not.
We're not drinking this.
So that's right there says enough. So
I tried.
Don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
And quite frankly, don't buy the newest version of it.
Well, it can stand on its feet to 2020.
At $40,
let's see.
Buy something else.
Let's see the price point.
$38, $40.
So you got a 13? No, $30.
$30 where?
Oh, maybe somebody. Average price.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. That can be from
That's
Costco
online.
And
no, it's
in
it's
Chicago
online.
Where it's low. Nevertheless, we don't recommend it.
No.
Don't buy it.
No.
Avoid it.
No.
There's so many other things. Wouldn't you rather have the Braun?
I'd rather have the I'd rather have Sledgehammer.
So would I.
$9 Sledgehammer.
Any of the Sledgehammers. Right now, I've even had them all.
Well,
I don't know
about those other ones, but that blend.
Oh, I'd still do it.
The blend, I'd rather have the
Sledgehammer. Oh, the Zin? Yeah. I'd rather have.
I think everybody might have caught up to this. The 2012 average price, $35.
Mm, you know what this blend is similar to? Bogle Essential Red. I would rather have Red Rock Winery stuff than this.
No.
I would.
Oh, stop it.
I would. I'm being honest. So.
Listen, people are going to think you're being a baby.
I'm not.
Go up.
I'm giving a review.
Relax.
I'm
you
being
were disappointed.
Honest. I'm
Go
giving
on.
My review.
Life's full of disappointment, Rob.
I know. I sit across from you. So with that, folks.
Yeah, but I didn't buy this wine.
Thank you. At least it wasn't $100.
But so here's the thing. On clearance, you may have overpaid for it.
I did overpay for it by about $25.17. So with that, I should have said, I'll give you $20, not this $25.17. With that, folks, Francis Ford Coppola, no. What are some bad movies he directed? This is his Godfather 3.
No,
not,
stop.
No, okay, whatever. It's bad. Don't buy it. We hate it.
If this was a movie, it would be on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
It would be. And consider us the wine review version of that show. We don't have robots, though, so. Although Steve kind of looks like some of those guys. Yeah. So with that.
By the way, folks, Mystery Science Theater is back out there.
It is.
Want to just a little cross promotion of a podcast I follow. The Mark Marone WTF. Joel Hodgson is on this most recent episode, and it's kind of interesting to hear his making that Mystery Science Theater. So there you go, a little cross-marketing with Mark Marone.
Were they mentioning us?
Oh, yeah. They're in their heart. Okay.
See, it's only cross-marketing if they mention us.
Well, they're going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to tweet it.
As soon as they become aware that we exist. Okay, with that, folks, we're going to bid you adieu and see you next time on The Wine Vault.